السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to our esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, and our esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We come to you live from our studio in Johannesburg and in Durban. Inshallah العزيز. Allah Ta'ala grant all of us afiyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us husni khatima. Today being the 31st of December 2024, corresponding with the 29th of Jumadul Akhirah 1446. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with afiyah. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allah Ta'ala set the tone for us. Ki Allahumma barik lana fi Rajaba wa Sha'ban. وبلغنا رمضان آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين أوفعوا عهده الذين هم مفاتيح الرحمة ومصابيح الغرر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه, أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Sahib Damat Barakatuhu, Ahlan wa Sahlan wa Marhaban to you on this beautiful Tuesday morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and Aafa with Afiyat and good health. Allah ta'ala accept your khidmat and may the Ummah benefit from the beautiful nasihat and advice given on Markaz Sahaba. Allah ta'ala accept Markaz Sahaba and the entire team, alhamdulillah, and granting us tawfiq and ikhlas to carry the beautiful work of Dawat and Tabligh. And alhamdulillah, thousands and maybe millions of lives have changed for the better just by listening to Qala Allah, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on a salim kareem. Ameen, ameen to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. May Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you and Appa. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Dawood Mondli. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today in South Africa, Southern Africa, it is the 29th of Jumad al-Akhirah 1446. With the grace and mercy of all Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Today we focus on chapter 41, Surah Hamim As-Sajda, Surah Fussilat, and verses 22, 23, and 24. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala addresses the non-Muslims and those of us who are playing with the Sharia and think that we will get away with impunity. Allah forbid. Hence, today's lesson starts at chapter 41 and verse 22. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ. And you human beings, you are not hiding your kufr, your shirk, your nifaq, your blasphemy, and your idol worship, and your polytheism, or your hypocrisy and double standards. أَن يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْءُكُمْ. Lest that one day your hearing faculty will bear testimony against you. وَلَا أَبْصَارُكُمْ. And you did not dream that one day that your sight, your seeing faculty, that your eyes and so forth will bear testimony against you. وَلَا جُلُودُكُمْ. And you did not dream that one day your very skin, your limbs and organs will then testify and give evidence against you. وَلَاكِنْ زَنَنْتُمْ. But you, O human being, who were the mushrikeen, idol worshippers, or the kafirin, those who rejected the articles of faith, or the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who only paid lip service to Islam, and the heart was devoid of iman and firm conviction. وَلَاكِنْ زَنَنْتُمْ. But you thought and imagined, أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. That all Almighty Allah does not know, Allah forbid, that was your wishful thinking, that Allah does not know, كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, many of the things that you are doing in the darkness of the night, in the brightness of the day, you thought you will get away with impunity. Oh, Almighty Allah, Jalla Allah's knowledge, all-embracing, all-encompassing, and He knows what happens in the darkest corner of the darkest night, in the tunnel, in the cave, wherever it is. وَذَٰلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمْ. And that was your imagination and your thinking. ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Your thinking, imagination regarding your sustainer, nourisher. أَرْدَاكُمْ. Which caused your destruction. أَرْدَاكُمْ. Which caused your destruction. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Hence you became from the failures and the losers. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You failed the test in this worldly life. You failed the test in the year after. Hence, everlasting doom and gloom for you. You go to Jahannam and the hellfire forever. Allah forbid. Sometimes in the Quran, when you study the balagha, the rhetoric, you will find Allah Ta'ala uses words, ala sabili tahakkum. What is the meaning, ala sabili tahakkum? I give you one example and explain the term to you. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, those people who don't want to pay their zakat. Zakat is mandatory, compulsory. They have millions and they have to pay for every million 25,000. So whether it is dollars, rupees or rands or pounds or what have you. So now these people, Quran Kareem teaches us, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They hoard and they store their gold and their silver, and they don't spend it in the path of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Then Almighty Allah says, فَبَشِّرُهُمْ. Now if you look at the word بَشِّرُهُمْ will mean, give them the glad tidings, give them the good news. But yeah, the punishment is being given to them and the announcement is being made regarding their punishment. So how can that be good news? So announce to them bi'adhabin aleem, a painful punishment. Chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, and verse number 34. So yeah, you see, that Allah is being sarcastic with them by using that word. You call it Allah sabili tahakkum. So here also Almighty Allah says in chapter 41, verse 24, now you are going to go to Jahannam, the hellfire. فَإِي يَصْبِرُوا. Hence, if they can exercise patience, if they can exercise fortitude, if they can make enough sabr, فَالنَّارُ مَثْوَى. Then the fire is their resting place and their abode. Who can make sabr? Who can exercise patience, fortitude there? Nobody. So Almighty Allah mentioned it to them in that sarcastic manner. You thought you want to play with me. You want to play with my religion. You want to play with Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for every action, there will be reaction. Cause and effect. Amal and radda amal. So therefore Almighty Allah says فَإِي يَصْبِرُوا. Hence, if you can make sabr and patience and exercise fortitude, then the fire will be your abode and resting place. But that is not bushra, it's not glad tidings, it is a punishment for them. وَإِي يَسْتَعْتِبُوا. And إِي يَسْتَعْتِبُوا means utbah, that talabu rida. And now if they want to please you ya Allah, فَمَا هُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْتَبِينَ. Hence, they will not be from those who will be given that glad tidings that Allah is pleased with them. They had time, opportunity, different occasions, and they did not please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. They continued with their kufr and blasphemy, their shirk and idol worship and polytheism, with their nifaq and hypocrisy. So they just come one Jummah for Salat. Sometimes they miss that, and then they just want to show their faces to the people that we are Muslim. But deep down in the inner recesses of their heart, they hate and despise certain aspects of Islam. So which kind of believers are they? They have nifaq and hypocrisy in the inner recesses of their heart. So that is what we should understand. Always beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa shirki wa nifaqi. O Allah Jalla Wala, I seek your protection from blasphemy, kufr, wa shirki, polytheism, idol worship, wa nifaq, and hypocrisy. And then we live with Iman and Islam, we die with Iman and Islam, then insha'Allah al-Aziz, nahnu min al-fa'izin fi dunya wal-akhirah. We will be the successful ones in this world and in the year after. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today is the 29th of Jumad al-Akhirah, 1446. The Gaza genocide today, Tuesday, is for day number 452. There in Gaza al-Mubarakah, Gaza fiha al-Izza, what honor they brought to the Ummah. And Russia, Ukraine, today is day number 1041. We present to you the news, views, interviews locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. Number one, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. 13 jutlas dispatched to hell, getting roasted and toasted there in the fire already. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. We have no sympathy, empathy for any jutla there in Palestine, occupied Palestine, or anywhere in the world when they are supporting Israel and the Zionist apartheid terrorist Nazi regime. 19 jutlas injured, some of them seriously. Alhamdulillah, may they also freck. Freck is an Afrikaans word that let them die like dogs. Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban min kilabik. Ya Allah, appoint your dogs against them and against Netanyahu. Allahumma azibhu azaban shadida. Grant him a very, very funny, a very, very powerful punishment and a terrible, horrible punishment for Netanyahu, the war criminal and butcher of Gaza. Haaretz newspaper writes in the editorial, leave Gaza hospitals alone. But now Haaretz, to a due respect to you, it's too late, you know. They've destroyed almost every hospital clinic there. Iran arrest an Italian journalist in Iran. So things are getting hot there in Iran. The public are now turning against them, the Shias, the Kufar leaders. 6 children passed away in Gaza due to the extreme cold. And now it's winter and it's raining, and the Israelis policy of starvation and the Israeli policy that hardly any aid will trickle in and so forth. May Almighty Allah decimate, destroy the Jutlas and Americans and British and the Indian politicians who are all together in this with the Arab tenpot dictators who are helping Israel. Allahumma arina ajaiba kudratik fa innahum la yujizunak. Ya Allah, you punish all of them. Ya Qawiyu, Ya Aziz. MK, a member of the Knesset. How Yeba us, you say MP, member of parliament, there you say MK. A member of the Knesset says, and he belongs to the ultra-Orthodox party, he says that if you serve in the army, Israeli army, then you're no more a Jew. You are expelled, you are out of the fold. So that is how Almighty Allah told us about them and informed us. Chapter 59. Verse 14, Ba'asuhum bainahum shadeed. Among themselves, they have big problems and fighting and arguments. Tahsabuhum jamia. You think that they are united, the Jutlas and the Jews. Wa qulubuhum shatta, while their hearts are fragmented. Zalika bi annahum qawmun la yaqilun. They are a people and nation got no brains. The baby killers and haramis. 6 foreigners there in Syria will be given big post in the army and so forth, and they will be given Syrian citizenship and so forth. So he, Julani, Jewlani, so he's trying to placate and please and appease everybody, it seems to me like that. So the Palestinian Authority of Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazin, Pakka Murtad Harami, Shaitan's child. So their raids on Janin is appealing to Israel and the Western countries, America, Britain, Europe, and so forth. So they're doing the dirty work of Israel. Pakka haramis they are. They go and fight their own Palestinians, Hamas, Jihad Islami, and so forth and so on, so they can get more and more money from Israel and America and other people, the haramis. Pakka murtads they are. According to Al Jazeera, listen to this. You see, tonight will be New Year's Eve. Tomorrow will be 1st January 2025. And on the 20th, you must remember, of January, 3 weeks' time, will be Trump inaugurated as the 47th president of America. But listen about this Donald Trump, Donald Duck Trump, you see, the harami, he's forever putting his rifle in the wrong place, you must remember that. So now Al Jazeera says, I read it myself, therefore I make notes and I have the references, that Trump must pay more than $83 million to a journalist. You see that? So then he lost the case against the one lady also, and that she charged him for rape and sexual assault and what and what and what. How many ladies are charging him? But imagine that now the president of America will have to pay $83 million, you must remember, to a journalist and so forth. But he's got enough sidekicks and haramis, Elon Musk and others, so they will rake up the money and pay and so forth. Or they will appeal. But how humiliated he is. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. Chapter 22, verse 18. Whosoever Almighty Allah humiliates, there's none to give them honor. Whether you are in the White House or you're in the Red House or in the Green House, haramis. India launches its first space mission. Can you imagine? There are billions of people, you must remember, in the world that are poor, poverty, they don't have enough food, and one of them is India, millions there, and they got money now to send for a space mission and so forth. So priority is totally upside down. The time will come when the people will revolt against Modi and his right-wing terrorist Hindus there. Hindufta, remember that. Listen to this one here. The New York Times carries an article and says, yes, Israel has murdered and killed civilians, Palestinians, as collateral and so forth. So till there, the story seems okay. But then they start sanitizing it and telling you but why it happened and so forth. So all these newspapers, your BBC, your CNN, and your Fox, and your, you must remember, or New York Times, all pro-Israel harami. Remember, money talks all languages. A lady sells a body, so she's a prostitute. These people have sold their soul, and that's why they are prostitutes, and they get paid, remember. The speaker there in the House in America currently is Mike Johnson, so he will be reappointed as the Speaker of the House even during Trump's time. He's the harami, the same Mike Johnson, when Netanyahu, the war criminal, went to address the Congress and so forth. He threatened them and said, anybody interrupts him, Netanyahu, you will get arrested. So therefore, that resonates with the Jewish lobby and APEC and the Jutlas and so. The more they try, the more humiliated they're getting. Some people objected on him. Now listen to this. You see, Jewlani, Jewlani. So now, first time in the history of Syria, Meisa Sabreen of Syria has been appointed as the central bank governor. He wants to show the world, see how we elevate the rank of the women and ladies. So he appointed her, he and his team, Meisa Sabreen. So she will be the governor of the central bank. Carter, Jimmy Carter, the guy who said he's bringing in peace between Israel and between, remember, the Egyptians. One side Anwar Sadat, other side begging, and in the middle was Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer. This was in 79, and that was the first country to make so-called peace with Israel. You can never make peace with them. They are murderers, they are occupiers, they are super terrorists. That is foolish of these Arab countries. But Nabi alayhi salatu salam said more than 1400 years ago, Wailul lil Arab, woe and destruction. Destruction to the Arabs, especially the rulers and so forth. So that is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. So Jimmy Carter's official funeral will be on the 9th of January. Joe Genocide will be reciting the eulogy. So now they will praise him, but they hate him. You must remember that. They're all bunch of thugs and haramis and war criminals. South Korea, the airport, there are so many protesters, hundreds and thousands of people have cancelled their bookings and so forth. There's big chaos there in South Korea. South Africa supporting Frelimo. You see that? So that's why they want them to remain in power. ANC came into power in 94. Frelimo came into power there in Mozambique in 75. And they both are liberation movements. So therefore they support one another. That is the ta'assub and being prejudiced, not being just and so forth. So the border between South Africa and Mozambique is being reinforced. There's chaos there, if you ask me. Look at the Western Cape in 2025. So remember, 2,400 teachers will be losing their jobs there in the Western Cape for the schools and so forth. So now they want to go to court and so forth, but it was struck off the roll also. So tonight will be New Year celebration. Muslims in different parts of the world, Muslim world, Dubai and so forth, and many other countries, and Western world, Times Square in New York and what have you. So all this A to Z, absolutely haram for us as Muslims. The wine, dine and swine culture of the non-Muslims, for me and you, go read your Isha Salat in the Masjid, and then sit quiet in your house and read a book, make Quran Sharif tilawat, and sleep early, and remember, put some plugs in your ears, because these haramis will be busy with their fireworks and so forth, to buy fireworks, to sell fireworks, to have fireworks, all that, all haram, whether it is for Diwali, whether it's for New Year, whether it's for Christmas, whether it is for Guy Fawkes, whatever the occasion is. Quran Sharif teaches us, we're speaking of Muslims obviously, chapter 17, verse 27, Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. The people who squander their wealth, they are the brothers and sisters of Satan, Shaitan. So there's no way of justifying that. And remember, we must scan the sky tonight. And in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, today is the 30th, hence tomorrow will be 1st Rajab, 1st January. So that will be corresponding with one another, and that will be 70, 80, 90% of the countries. They will follow Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Al-Aqsa, Al-Mubarak. So that will usher in the month of Rajab in most countries in the world tonight. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, give us barakah during the months of Rajab and Sha'ban, and spare us for the month of Ramadan. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif and Bayhaqi. And in South Africa, we will scan the sky. It's 19 and a half, 20 hours, different places. If the crescent is sighted, Allahu Akbar, hilalu khairin wa rushdin. Ya Allah, make this month of Rajab a month of khair and goodness for us and the ummah. Wa rushdin, and righteousness. The words hilalu khairin wa rushdin mentioned in Abu Dawood. Today's program, Mufti Masihullah Ghaji of Port Shepston, inshallah. So Moana Khalid will be interviewing him, inshallah. Tomorrow, Moana Zahid Khan will be back, inshallah Aziz. Moana Khalid, we say Jazakallah Khairan to you. And thereafter, remember, 11 to 12 today will be the bliss of marriage, and 1 to 2 will be the tafsir of the Noble Quran, the commentary. Moana Salim, we have 29 minutes, inshallah, for the Q&A. So let's fire up, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, is it allowed for a man to call his mother-in-law Ammi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When I used to live, my mother-in-law used to live here with me, I used to call her Masi. So Masi will be like Khala. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Al-Khala to be manzilatil Sahih, authentic hadith mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. So the mother's sister, the maternal auntie, is just like the mother. So if you call your mother-in-law Ammi, and you don't mean the literal meaning, you mean the figurative meaning, that you are just like my mother, so that will be permissible. But better we will say is, you don't call her a me, because it can send the wrong signals and the wrong message. So call her Masi, auntie, or some other word of respect and so forth. But if you say a me, we will not say is haram or not permissible. Most to most we will say is undesirable.
Mufti Saab, when a husband passes away, does the husband's father-in-law remain a mahram for the wife?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this question in chapter 4, verse number 23, chapter 24, verse 31. I read for you the verse. I am married, Maha Salim, you are married, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Quran Kareem teaches us which ladies we cannot get married to. Wa ummahatu nisaikum, and your wife's mother. Now your wife, somebody's wife passes away, okay? So now, after your wife passed away, what will be your relationship with your mother-in-law? So you still have mahram. Mahram means that you are mahram for her forever. You can never ever marry her, even if the husband divorced his wife, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, or the wife passed away. So you will always be her mahram. You can never ever marry her. So you can travel with her and so forth, provided that there's no hanky-panky business. The opposite way. Quran Kareem teaches us in Surah 24, Surah Nur, Mother Aisha Siddiqa, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, used to say, Allimu nisa'akum Surat al-Nur. Go read the tafsir books of our Ustad, Honorable Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, Rawa'i'ul Bayan fi Ahkamil Quran, Tanwirul Adhan. So, Kwakataba Umar ila Ahlil Iraq, Sayyidina Umar wrote a letter to them and said, Allimu nisa'akum Surat al-Nur, teach your female Surah Nur, chapter 24, comprising 64 verses, chapter 24, verse 31, Allah says, in front of which man you can expose your beauty, O lady, O abaihinna, in front of your biological father, you don't have to cover your head and your hair and your arms and so forth and so on. So if it is exposed, we're not saying it's taqwa, but we're saying it's permissible. O aba ibu ugulatihinna, or your father-in-law. So father-in-law will always be mahram for the daughter-in-law. So we should be very clear, even if the divorce takes place, so still he will remain the mahram for her. He can never ever marry her. So that is the fatwa and verdict. But again, we reiterate, if there is fear of fitna and hanky-panky business, then never leave them alone. The son-in-law with the mother-in-law, or the father-in-law with the daughter-in-law. Because today we live in a time of fitna, mayhem, chaos and turmoil. May Almighty Allah protect us. Always read, O male and female, beautiful dua. Remember mentioned in Mustad Ahmad Sahih Hadith, Allahumma, O beloved Allah, hassin Ha, Swad, Noon. Allahumma hassin farji, O Almighty Allah, fortify and protect my private part. We must not become like Trump the Harami. He can't remember where and where he put his rifle, the shaitan and the Harami.
Mufti Sahab, what is the masla on leave from work? Is it halal to take money whilst one is on leave?
Our Mawlana Zahid Khan is on leave now. Today is his last day. Tomorrow he will come. So it is part of the contract. You must remember that you will work and then you will get 3 weeks leave and so forth. So you know, one is what we agree, what is what the government tells you and so forth. So both parties have reached an agreement. So they won't come to work for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever the agreement is, whether you're a full-time worker, part-time casual worker. So all that there. So in Islam, 100%, you must remember, chapter 5, verse number 1, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, awfu bil uqood. So you, a iman walo, 89 different places Allah Ta'ala used the word and the phrase, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, fulfill your obligation, fulfill your contracts. So whatever the contract states, so you must remember, you have to pay. So that is the agreement. And if the person did some exceptional work and so forth, so then give him a bonus as well. You ladies at home, your mama, your domestic, your worker there, so sometimes she's helping you so many extra things, so give them some bonus also, you know, show your Muslim akhlaq and so forth and so on. So even they will say, Mrs. Madam today woke up from the right side of the bed. Yet most of the time our Muslim ladies also, they overwork them and underpay them. That's not right. Remember that he, Habibuna Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father, your father, he wants to tell us something and then he passes away. What you say, he to manjo page or arman wo, this was the last wish and farewell wish of my father. But who are our fathers? Ordinary people and mortals. Nothing special about them. This is Habibuna Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, teaching us a lesson for humanity and posterity. As-salah, as-salah, guard your salah, guard your salah, safaran wa hadara, whether you are traveling or whether you are at home, you're going for umrah, but you miss your salat in the plane. Allah's curse be upon you. What umrah are you talking about when you cursed already? So we need to get our priorities right. Second one, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُكُمْ, and over whom you have authority, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your students. So we must fulfill their rights, your employees. So whether it is the male, female staff, and now you don't give them leave, but is mentioned there and that in the contract. So you're making zulam then and oppressing them. So that is how we understand hukukullah, hukukul ibad. Open Muslim Sharif, open Bukhari Sharif. And one more thing Nabi alayhi salam mentioned on his deathbed, and what he said, akhrijul yahud wan nasara min jaziratil arab, expel the Jews and Christians from the Arab peninsula. Look at your Saudi Arabia, look at your UAE Emirates, all murtads and haramis and khainin and traitors to Islam. They bring more and more Jews, more and more Christians, and they proud about it, and they say they're Muslim. Then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, these are jamaatul murtaddeen, the leaders. So for them individually also, that the death penalty is applicable, and the hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible to pray in facilities called multi-faith rooms, like at the airport?
Many a time it happened to me when we were traveling this country, that country. Sometimes there's layover, transit, they call layover now. Sometimes you must remember the plane gets delayed. And so many things happens. So now you want to pray. So they have a multi-faith room. 90% of the time, you won't find no Jew, no Christian, no Hindu, nobody praying. If people are praying, mostly you will find it's Muslims. Alhamdulillah, ala zalik. But be that as it may, we must make sure when we go and pray in these facilities, we're not reading salat and praying namaz in front of a statue or in front of the crucifix, the cross, and so forth. You go one side, where there's no nam, nishan, no sign, no symbol of the kuffar, and then there we perform our salat. So the fatwa verdict will be yes, it is permissible. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah has not burdened any person more than his or her ability, capability, capacity. And remember, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, idha amartukum bi shay'in fa'atu bihi mastata'tum. When I commanded you to do something, then you must do it to the best of your ability. Authentic hadith mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. This is the barakah, this is the rahmah, this is the wasila of Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ju'ilat li al-ardu masjidan wa tahura." The entire planet, the entire land, sand, as long as it is park and clean and pure, then ju'ilat liyal ardu masjidan wa tahura. You can read your salat there, it has become a masjid, meaning is prevalent for salat. Wa tahura, and you are in some isolated place where there is no water, so then you can perform your tayammum there. Story time quickly. It was Monday, the first of Rabi'ul Awwal, and the year is 2013. We landed there in Tehran, and that is the Khomeini Airport. Zari, the driver, was waiting for us. So they gave us our visas, thinking that we are Shias. They said, Husseini? I said, yes. Fatima? I said, yes. Right, sit down. Less than 10 minutes, they stamped our passports, no question. Asked for 2 weeks. So when we came out from the airport, first stop, he took us to Khomeini's grave. The Zari. I told him, what I must do here? He said, this Khomeini. I said, it's kafir. Now, la'anatullah alay. So I told him, okay, I'm going on the other side. You show me. And we went on the other side and we read our Zohar Salat there. So that is what I mean by your multi-faith and so forth. We mustn't be reading in front of any cross or nishani or idol or something, any symbol sign of this kuffar and non-Muslims. Totally haram, not permissible then.
Mufti Sahab, I was told that the soul visits our home for 40 days after demise, also to have a 40-day khatam. Is there any truth in this?
So what will you tell your father, mother, when you meet them on day of Qiyamah? For 39 days, I'm not going to pray for you. On the 40th day, I will pray for you. So there's no such thing like 3 days and 40 days and 100 days. You love your father, mother. You love your deceased. So pray every day for them, O Muslim. They passed away with Iman and Islam. Chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ghfirli wa liwalidayya وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Ya Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents. Make a lot of dua. You will see them in your dream. They are smiling with you. Ye mera beta hai. Ye meri ladli sahibzadi beti hai. This is my son. This is my beloved daughter. And so forth and so forth. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. And all the believers, whether we know them or not, forgive them, Ya Rab, the day the reckoning will be established. Chapter 59, verse number 10, in the 28th Subara, and that is Surah Hashar, this first quarter of the 28 Jews. 28 para, Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Chapter 59, verse 10, in the 28 Jews, Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with iman. That is the condition. And then you give out charity for them daily. So there's no such thing in Islam like 3 day fatiha, 40 day fatiha, and 100 day. That is people concocted. We must remember that we must pray for them daily, and to say the Ruh visits them after 40 days, or let all fairy tales. Those of you who know Arabic, the masterpiece book to read is Kitabur Ruh by Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah, celebrated student Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, masterpiece. I have that book. And if you don't know Arabic, somebody translated it. It's a abridged version, the summary, called The Journey of the Soul. So very good translation also, The Journey of the Soul. And he took the book of Ibn Qayyim, Kitabur Ruh, original in Arabic, and summarized it. So read it, you will find everything there that is mentioned.
Mufti Sahab, someone who dies a non-believer, will they go to Jannah? Question.
Remember that it is an article of faith for us that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us regarding three categories of people. Write down the references. Chapter 33, Surah Ahzab, the coalition, verses 64-65. Inna Allah la'ana al-kafirin wa'adda lahum sa'ira. Verily Allah has cursed the non-Muslims who are sane and mature. And Allah has already prepared for them the furnace and the inferno and the blazing fire. Khalidina fiha abada. They will dwell and stay there. Remember, in Jahannam and the hellfire forever and ever, everlasting doom and gloom. La yajiduna waliya wala nasira. There is no protector. There is no helper for them because they died on kufr and blasphemy. And then they reject rejected the articles of faith. Second one, chapter 4, verse 48. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. How many people are worshipping idols? How many people are worshipping deities? They say they worship Allah, but they worship the idol. When we ask them, why you do that? They say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. That they will bring us nearer to Almighty God and Allah. 100% kufr and shirk. So Allah will never forgive them. Quran says, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 48. Then we have people who have Muslim names, and you think they are Muslim, but their hearts are devoid, remember, of Iman. So they play a game, like today, so many politicians and so forth. That person died, a non-Muslim, but just to please and appease the people, they will say, may he go to heaven and so forth, rest in peace. You lose your Iman, you go out to the fold of Islam. So you must remember Quran says, chapter 4, verse 145, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That the munafiqeen who pay lip service only to Islam, they will end up in the lowest layer of Jahannam. We, the Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah, believe all children who are minors will enter Jannah, whether their name is Ahmad, Muhammad, Aisha, Fatima, or Tom, Dick, and Mary. Once they are minors, they go to Jannah, inshallah. Ji.
Can a male, before making an intention for ihram, use perfume on his body and his ihram?
You are still not in ihram, my brother. So now while you're taking your bath and ghusl, you use shampoo, you use soap. Then when you dry yourself, you want to use perfume and fragrance and all permissible on your body. We say you should not apply it on your ihram and so forth. It leaves stains there and so forth. So rather apply it on your body. So you're not in ihram, so totally permissible. Once you are in the state of ihram, you read your salat or you didn't read your salat, the salat is nafil, voluntary, two rakats. And then you made your intention for umrah, and now you read labbaik allahumma labbaik. Now you are in the state of consecration, in the state of ihram. Fala rafasa, no husband and wife talk. You can't tune your wife up now. Oh my poppy, my darling, my sweetheart, how smooth your hands are. All this smooth talk is not permissible now. Fala fusuka, no smoking and all that, as it is not permissible. In ihram is absolutely haram. And wala fusuqa, and now no perfume and shampoo and lotion and all that, you in ihram. And wala jidala, and no fighting, arguing, quarreling, disputing when you in ihram. So that is after you enter the state of consecration, the state of ihram.
Of Kisab, is selling cigarettes permissible and the income received from it, is it halal?
Remember that our ulama, they have two verdicts on it. In India, Pakistan, majority of the scholars say makruh tahrimi. And if you study the Arab scholars like Saudi and them, the original scholars I'm speaking about of those days, so like Sheikh bin Baz and Sheikh Salih bin Uthaymeen and all of them, they say at-tadkhinu haram, that smoking is haram and all these things here, buying, selling, we agree with that fatwa there, that it is haram, meaning the buying, selling. Now see, that today people want to buy and sell fireworks and what. See the harm with cigarettes, with fireworks. You're causing harm to yourself. You're causing harm to the society. You're causing harm to the environment. Today the people, tonight, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, they'll be busy with the fireworks and so forth. The dogs and the animals will be running and barking and so. So now you smoke, and now you come to the masjid Fajr time, you stand next to me. So what happens? You're causing me so many problems. You're causing the angels so many problems. You're desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. He, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, authentic hadith in Muwatta Malik, la dwarara wa la dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself, don't cause harm to others. So whether it is fireworks, whether it's cigarettes, all that haram, not permissible.
Mufti Saab, Here in Makkah, we have noticed that women pray janazah salah as well. Is this permissible according to the Hanafi mazhab?
Whether it's Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, so the same law applies. If you ladies want to read, you can read it. If you don't read, there's no sin upon you. Now, you never read Salatul Janaza in your life. So the Imam will say, Allahu Akbar. So what must you read? You read Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillah. Imam will say, Allahu Akbar. So what must you read? You read Durood Sharif, Salawat, upon Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam will say Allahu Akbar. What must you read? Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unsana till the end. Imam will say the fourth takbir, Allahu Akbar, and then make salam. There in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, the Imam, he makes one salam. That is the Hanbali school. You, the Shafi'is, Malikis, and the Hanafis, make salam both ways. I said that when the first takbir Allahu Akbar is made, then they read Surah Fatiha. That is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, the Malikis, and so forth. Many a time the mics, they are very sensitive. You will hear the Imam reading, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladin an-Amta. How many times you heard it like that? Only the Hanafis will say that you read Sana Subhanakallahumma in your first takbir of Salatul Janaza. So that is the slight academic discussion there. So first you praise Allah, then Durood Sharif Salawat, then dua for the mayyit and deceased, whether it's one person or 10-20 people passed away, and thereafter Allah, and you must say the Allahu Akbar. That's compulsory. They say Allahu Akbar, you also must say Allahu Akbar, so that's compulsory, and four times, and then you make salam. So that is how you perform the Salatul Janaza.
Mufti Sahab, the namaz that we read on the plane, does it have to be repeated when we land?
Yes, it must be repeated when you land. If you read the Salat sitting and you did not face Qibla and so forth, so when you land, so then you must repeat that Salat. So whenever you are traveling by plane, by train and so forth, it's Salat time, so you face Qibla standing, and then you read and perform your Salat. Fajr time, 2 and 2. Zuhur time, 2. Asr time, 2. Maghrib time, 3. Isha time, 2. That's two suffices for the majority scholars, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. You don't have to read witr when you are a musafir. For Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis say 2 and 3 witr. So you have to read even though you are a musafir and a traveler. Okay? So now you read, you said turbulence or whatever. So then you, the old person or whatever, sickly. So now you read Salat sitting, but you did not face Qibla. Then in all these cases, yeah, so you must repeat your Salat when you reach your destination. So why do you read the Salat? When the time comes in, ihtiraman lil waqt, to show respect that the time has come in and we have to read and perform our Salat. So therefore, that Salat also is compulsory.
Mufti Sahab, what is the difference between Sadaqah and Lillah?
Sadaqah normally is given to poor people, Muslim or non-Muslim. It's voluntary charity. Now we go for Fajr Salat. Some masajid, you will see these car guards are there. Nigalo mali boza, nigalo mali fundisi. You see, they know us now. So now, and they can be rotating all the time, but they'll know you. That please give me some money, you see. So now you give them 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, because it's a daily thing. So remember, so that you call sadaqah. Tasaddaqu ala ahli al-adyani kulliha. Give charity to everybody of all religions, voluntary charity. The only people we can't give charity are Harbis, are the Jutlas, are the Zionists. We are at war with them. We say one settler, one bullet will settle the issue. Lillah is for poor people, rich people, anybody. So remember that, Muslim, non-Muslim, you're building masjid. street. You can't use zakat. You can't use sadaqah. So you use your lillah money. That is for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah. You want to build a madrasa, darulum. You want to build a school. People say Muslim school or what have you, library. And all these type of things with the money. You give your sister money. But you know your sister is rich. So now just to enhance the love and muhabba, so and the love between yourself and her, for example, so you call that lillah. We're doing this solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah. Innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allahi la nuridu minkum jaza'un wala shukura. So when you give charity to the poor, then it's sadaqah. And when you give to your family members, your friends, they are rich, so you call it lillah. So that is an easy difference for you to understand that what will be the difference between the two terminologies.
Mufti Saab, can a wife make intention to wear parda when she goes out of the house alone, as her husband does not want her to wear parda?
What will you tell? You remember Allah says it's compulsory. You must start ta'lim in your house. You must read chapter 33, Surah Ahzab, and verse 59. Chapter Surah 33, verse 59. What do you say about this verse? If the husband rejects parda completely and so forth and so on, he's out of the fold of Islam. The nikah is broken. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Mustafa Rasul, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قل لأزواجك, tell your honourable wives and spouses, وبناتك, and your honourable beloved daughters, ونساء المؤمنين, and you the believing men, your women, your wives, your daughters, your sisters, your mothers, your nieces, يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن, that the women must draw close to themselves the jilbab. They have their clothing on and have another out the garment to cover the whole body. As mentioned by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ra'isul Mufassirin, our honorable Ustad and Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, under these verses here, wrote a whole article beautiful in Rawaiul Bayan fi Ahkamil Quran for the lady, Bid'atu Kashfil Wajhi. It is haram for a lady to expose her face in front of everybody. You don't need your permission of your husband to wear parda. Anything that's farz and wajib and compulsory, you don't need his permission. It's fajr time now. He tell you don't read salat, you don't listen to him. You must read your salat. He tell you that you mustn't give out zakat, you don't listen to him. You pay your zakat. Here also, if the husband says don't wear parda, you don't listen to him. Why? The golden maxim in Islam, open Mishkat Sharif, Ibn Majah, Mustad Ahmad, La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it leads to a sin against the Creator, whether it's husband, whether it is parents, whether it is kings, or whether it is the government, or the crown prince, or the shaitan one, whoever it is. So remember, we don't obey them, we tell them fly a kite. Barakallahu fiqh, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.